he cheated on me in 2015, and then he cheated on me again. The trust was gone. He's still with the girl he cheated on me with. Mm. And he lies, tells me what, you know, he thinks I want to hear. The divorce was final last year, August of 2023. And I probably dated a little too soon after the marriage imploded, but it was also helpful to go out there and date and know, hey, you know what? I am attractive. People do want to date me. There are maybe good guys out there.
This is episode number 601. We're doing some live coaching today with Rachel. She had an ex-husband who was a cheater, and she wants to know, how do I trust again? And I'm sure so many of you can relate. I love doing these coaching sessions on the podcast because it can help you feel that you're not alone. And Rachel's somebody who I've never met. She knows me through social media. She's in my Facebook group, and she responded to a call for people to be coached. So I have not talked to her about this situation before, and I'm excited to talk to her in just a minute. But before I bring her on, I just wanted to welcome you back to Last First Date Radio, where we believe it is never too late to go on your last first date. And to support you on your journey to lasting love, I wrote two books. The first one is Becoming a Woman of Value, How to Thrive in Life and Love. And I wrote this book because really it was my journey. I did not value myself enough. And because of that, I made some poor choices in life and in love. And when you come from a place of core confidence, you know how to speak up, you know who you are, you know what you stand for. And this book will help you every step of the way. And the second book is Choice Points in Dating. And I wrote this because it's really a guide to how to date, who to date, when to stay, when to go, how to date online, offline. It's really a handbook. And I wrote it because we have choice points at every step of the way. And so many people don't know how to choose, and they think that they don't have a choice. And so I want you to know you do have choices. This book will guide you, and you can find both books on Amazon for Kindle or paperback. And now Choice Points is available on Audible for audiobook. So go, when you're finished with this podcast, head over to Amazon. And this week's tip is Becoming a Woman of Value from the book. It's step number 8, be more vulnerable. Vulnerability is the key to forming intimate, deep relationships. And many of us were brought up to think vulnerability is a weakness and we shouldn't share and we should keep ourselves guarded and closed until we really know someone well. But when you're dating, you don't really have the opportunity to get to know somebody well over several months. You're trying to get to know them fairly quickly, and you've got to make more vulnerable, deeper connections. And that doesn't mean sharing your whole life story and telling them about all the horrible things that happened to you and your terrible exes. This is not what vulnerability is. Vulnerability is sharing your feelings, sharing how much you really are enjoying being with that person, sharing about something that's really important to you, your passions, your goals. Those are all ways to get a little more vulnerable instead of just sharing facts and stories that are not really relevant to another person's life. So my challenge to you this week is to find a way to be a little more vulnerable. And before I bring Rachel on, I want to invite you to join my fabulous Facebook group. It's called Your Last First Date. If you're not yet a member, you should head over there when you're done listening, because it is a place where you will have safe, sane comments, moderators. I created a group that has strict guidelines and boundaries so that you do not go off the rails and you do not just go on and say how horrible dating and men are. So if you're a woman over 40 and you're looking to be going on your last first date, even if you've gone on your last first date, a lot of women stay on after marriage and after they've been in relationships because they get so much value from the group. So head on over there. And now for my guest, Rachel. She wrote in, as I said before, to talk about her ex-husband being a cheater and how hard it is to trust again. So Rachel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell our audience a little bit about your backstory. How long have you been divorced, and what has been your experience with dating since your divorce?
Well, I was married for almost 11 years. We were together a total of 13, and he cheated on me in 2015, and then he cheated on me again. The trust was gone, and he was different. He's still with the girl he cheated on me with, and he lies, tells me what, you know, he thinks I want to hear. The divorce was final last year, August of 2023. And I probably dated a little too soon after the marriage imploded in December of 2022. But it was also helpful to go out there and date and know, hey, you know what? I am attractive. People do want to date me. There are maybe good guys out there. Unfortunately, a lot of people that I did date were not the best choice for me, but I also knew I wasn't going to marry them. I wasn't going to get in a relationship with them. It was just somebody to help me get my self-confidence back.
Even though you felt it might've been a little soon, you needed some validation and you needed to feel attractive and confident to get back out there and hopefully find somebody who will be more permanent at some point.
Correct. Yes.
Were you worried that these people would cheat on you? Like, how did that show up in your dating experience?
I mean, considering what happened, I think I was doing pretty well. But I did notice that if a guy would tell me, oh, yeah, I was watching this show or something like that, and then he changed the story, I'd be like, wait a minute, 10 minutes ago, you told me this. And they're like, look, like, if you're looking to catch me in a lie, like, that's not what I want to do. And so it was constantly, I have a really good memory. So if they tell me one thing and then, you know, 2 days later, they changed it, I'm like, oh, he's lying. But then I had to tell myself, look, we're not in a relationship. Like, we're not like just dating each other. He can do whatever he wants and I can do whatever I want. I can't, you know, I have to let go of that. And I think that was a hard part. And even now, I just have to tell myself that I just, you know, I need to let it go. Not everybody is a cheater. At some point, I'm going to have to trust, you know, whoever I date. But I, you know, I still, like, I'm currently dating a guy now and, you know, he'll say something and I'm like, but wait, you said, you know, you didn't get home till 1:00, but now it's 2:30. And he's like, I don't look at the clock. Like, you know, I don't remember everything. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I still catch myself doing that, which I'm trying to get better, but you know, it is a hard process to let go of, you know, once you've been cheated on.
Sure. And you're hypervigilant, it sounds like.
Yes, very. Yes.
So hypervigilance is actually a saboteur. It is something that holds us back because we're being overly observant, overly distrustful. You need to have some criteria for how to build trust. And so how do you build trust?
I mean, I think it's just through time. And then, you know, the bad thing is too, you know, I was with my ex for a total of 13 years and there was trust and then it was broken trust and then trust again. But after the first cheating in 2015, it never was fully the same. Now it's just with time and, you know, just getting to know someone and just kind of letting go of all the fear of being hurt again and being lied to and being cheated on and being vulnerable. You know, like you said, which is, it's tough, you know, especially after going through somebody who cheated.
When someone cheats and trust is broken, they have to somehow build the trust back up. What did you say or do at the time when you were cheated on by your husband to see if something would change? Like, were there new agreements? Was there something that was set up between the two of you?
When he cheated in 2015, we did therapy. He went and got tested, STD tested. He would play hockey at night. I told him he couldn't do that. He did whatever I asked of him. I had the password to his phone. He's like, check my phone whenever you want, my emails, pictures, whatever you want. And then when he cheated on me in 2022 that I found out about, he had said he was inappropriate with other people prior to me finding out the actual physical cheating. When he cheated in 2022, it was different. It was like, he didn't want to do anything to gain my trust. And then I found out a lot from his daughter and ex-wife, stuff he's been saying about me for the past 2 years. You know, that I was the B word. He said very mean, mean things about me. And so when he cheated on me in 2022, he was done with the marriage. He was done with me. You know, he threw me out like a piece of trash. He didn't want to give me closure. He didn't want to explain to me why he did it. And so I had to learn to just try to get my own closure from that situation, which is very difficult. But the last time he cheated, like nothing was done to gain the trust back. Like the marriage was over. It was broken. We were done.
So my feeling is the marriage was over way before that. I mean, obviously for two years, but he didn't share that with you. And
correct.
So there were some major issues in your marriage that were not being dealt with. And first of all, if you're trying to prevent cheating by being hypervigilant, the other person will just learn how to be better at hiding things, right?
Yeah.
The second thing is that if you're not communicating really well in your marriage, which it sounds like there was a massive communication issue here.
Right.
That he was, even if he's just sharing thoughts and talking to other people about you instead of talking to you directly, that's a form of cheating.
Right.
That's a form of emotional cheating. You know,
right.
That he is going to other people to get support instead of his own wife.
Right.
So cheating started way before the actual physical cheating. Let's go back a little bit and talk about what the marriage was like, what drew you to him, what were the qualities that you fell in love with.
We had dated in 1997 briefly, and he had a daughter who was 7 and she didn't like me, so we broke up. And so to me, he was always the one that got away. And so I put him on this pedestal. And, you know, I'd got married, got divorced. And then I found him on Facebook and we started talking, and he had gotten married, had another 7-year-old daughter. We, you know, just started talking. He's very charming. He's very romantic. He's very affectionate. You know, he's a people pleaser. So whatever he feels that you need, he gives you. And we, you know, we started dating again and then fell in love. And there were red flags. He had a history of cheating, which he explained to me that, you know, he hit rock bottom, he would never do again. And, you know, I wanted to believe him, you know, because, you know, a lot of times people hit rock bottom and they never do stuff again. We have the same personality. We got along. We were best friends. And there was just like this attraction and this connection with him that I overlooked. Things, you know, lying to me about going out with an ex-girlfriend, that sort of thing. You know, those were issues, trust issues. I just overlooked it because I just thought he was my soulmate. You know, we found each other again. He was just, we were supposed to be together.
So this is like a fantasy.
Yeah. Which quickly came crashing down.
Yeah. Fantasies do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're not like super clear about the values that you need, the core values that are really important to you, you get pulled in by charm. And him, he figured out what would please you. So I wouldn't necessarily call that a people pleaser. I call that narcissistic behavior. That's it's manipulation. It's let me find out how to get in her good graces and win her over. And it's not because he wants to please you. It's because he wants to please him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I found out a lot of this stuff after. Like, I didn't think he was a narcissist. I didn't think he manipulated. His mom was a manipulator and he hated his mom for that. So it's kind of funny that that's what he does.
Not really.
I mean, it makes, you know, looking back, sense. It's like, yeah, looking back, it's like, oh, well, the reason why you hated your mom is because you do the same thing.
Yeah. We often hate the parent who's so much like us.
Right.
So
exactly.
Which brings me to your past. Who in your family of origin did he remind you of?
He didn't remind me of anybody. I mean, after the cheating came out, I have an uncle who cheated on his wife. They were married for 30 some years. And I remember when I found out he was cheating, I also had a friend whose husband was cheating on her at the same time. And I went up to my ex, you know, he was a husband at the time. And I said, look, like, don't you ever cheat on me, you know, And he's like, oh, I won't. And at that time he was cheating on me. Mm-hmm. So he reminds me a lot of, you know, my uncle, you know, once I found out about the cheating and that sort of thing, you know, narcissist behavior and a lot of the same, you know, characteristics, which at the time I didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, once everything imploded, I was like, oh yeah, my uncle.
That's a direct correlation, right? Cheater, mm-hmm. and he's a cheater.
Right.
A lot of times there's subtle things in our family of origin that we don't realize influences the choices we make. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if what it was like growing up for you, what was your love blueprint? So your father and your mother, what kind of relationship did they have?
They're still married. When I was growing up, they were very, not so much nurturing. You know, like I knew they loved me, but they never said it. And they're still married and they have, like, you know, a great friendship, a great relationship. I never, if they had a fight or were mad at each other, I would have never known. A lot of stuff was done behind closed doors. And I was talking to one of my friends and I'm like, I think they did me a disservice because I was growing up thinking marriage is wonderful and great and there's no fights and no arguments. And I didn't kind of know how to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was like, oh, everything's perfect. You get married and, you know, there's no issues, no problems, because I never knew any of their issues that they had, because they grew up in a time where if we had money issues or marriage issues, the children don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's between, you know, husband and wife. And, you know, I have a great relationship with them. When they became grandparents, they opened up a little bit more, you know, saying, I love you, or, you know, hugging, that sort of thing. You know, I talk to them once a week. I think, you know, when I was growing up, my dad worked a lot. So I didn't like on the weekends because he'd be home and we didn't really, I didn't feel close to him at that point because I didn't, you know, his job was to make money and cut the grass and, you know, pretty much that's it. So like, I didn't have a relationship with him when I was growing up. And then when I got older, we have more of a friendship. But he's also doesn't really talk that much. So it's kind of painful to talk to him on the phone. You know, my mom is the chatty one and the one I talk to the most, more than my dad.
It sounds like there are a couple of things that stood out from you talking about your family of origin. One is the lack of nurturing in your family, so that you didn't feel that sense of being cherished and loved in the way that you could have, even though I'm sure
right.
there was some sense of it, but it's, and a lot of families don't know how to show that. That's
right.
That's important, because that is one of the first things that we experience that does influence the romantic choices we make.
Right.
You know, we don't know what that feels like. So we have a lack of that. And then you were looking for it from somebody who really couldn't give it to you. So there's a correlation there that I see.
Mm-hmm.
And the no visible fighting, you had no idea how to resolve conflict and how to talk about hard things, because
right.
nobody modeled that for you. So,
right.
And there was also this fantasy, marriage is perfect. Marriage mm-hmm. is no conflict. We don't really need to discuss things. So that set you up for failure. And, and, you know, without recognizing how we get influenced. And then there are things that happen along the way. Then you go out and you have adolescence and you have your first relationships. And, you know, when you start to look at the patterns of the relationships and what do they have in common, it starts to become more clear. Oh, these are the things that, this is who I become in relationships. These are the things I've missed in other relationships. And this is what I need to look for. So
right.
hypervigilance is not the way to get somebody to trust you, obviously, but
right.
there are other ways to build trust. And so your lack of communication, you're sort of dismissing some of the big red flags, had a lot to do with your past. And now mm-hmm. that you're past that relationship, you want to do better this time.
Right.
Building trust is not just time. It's about speaking up. It's about being clear with what it is that you absolutely need to have trust. And it's about consistency. And it's about somebody who follows through and says what they're going to do and then shows you by their actions.
Right.
And so with the person that you're dating now, how has he shown up for you in ways that have built trust?
Well, he lives up north, so like 5 hours away. We've known each other like 7 months. And it was kind of hit or miss at the beginning, because at first he seemed like he wanted, you know, a relationship. And then all of a sudden he kind of like was like, hey, you know, I'm busy, my kids and work and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not, you know, like, I'm just not in the headspace to be in a relationship. And I was like, well, I'm not like, I don't want a relationship. I just need some sort of security. You know, like, I need to feel like you like me. We have like adult conversations. Like, if, you know, I was, when he had come out one time, I was thinking, you know, maybe he liked me more than he did, or, you know, something like that. And he's like, look, like, I want to have fun. I don't want to be stressed. I don't want to have like the pressures of being in a relationship. And he's like, you know, I'm sorry if I misled you. And we, you know, we talked through it and we worked through it. And at that point, I wasn't sure like what I wanted. You know, I was thinking that if he wanted to, like, at that point, I just wanted to feel like somebody wanted to be in a relationship with me, you know, that I was good enough that somebody wanted to be with me. And I wasn't getting that from him. I was like, okay, so like, you'll date other people, I'll date other people. And then, you know, we would talk. And then he's like, you know, what do you want from me? And I said, I need to feel that you like me. He's like, look, I've told my kids, I told my family about you, I've told my therapist about you. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. And he's like, what, did you think you were a secret? And I'm like, yeah. Because he never had said, oh yeah, you know, because he's, you know, he has walls, you know. And he, you know, we communicate, he opened up, and he, you know, he let me know. He's like, look, I'm afraid of being hurt. And I'm not the best at dating and letting down my walls, but, you know, I want to be with you and I like you and I want to keep moving forward. And, you know, there've been some things he says or whatever that I don't like. And I'm very clear. I'm like, hey, you know what? I don't like that. And he's like, okay, I understand you. I hear you. And so I think, you know, we have both, you know, like, the marriage that just imploded, that was my second marriage. The first marriage lasted like 2.5 years, and that should have never even happened. But I told him, I said, look, like, I've been divorced twice. So like, if I get into a relationship, it's going to be like good. Like, there's going to be good communication. You know, we're not going to stop kissing. I think that was one of the issues in both my marriages where, you know, after a certain point of time, you just don't put forth the effort, you know, to kiss and to go on dates and to spend time with each other. And he's like, yeah, like, you know, we'll never, you know, we won't stop kissing and being affectionate and going on dates. And so whatever I say I need, he gives me. And we have a very open line of communication now, more so than what we had before.
That's all good. I'm still sensing some ambiguity here, that you're not in a relationship, but you are in a relationship. Where are you now?
Yeah. So, I mean, technically we are because neither of us are dating anybody else, but to me, I told him, I'm like, look, I don't want to be like, even though technically, I guess we are kind of boyfriend and girlfriend. I just don't want the labels, because I feel that if we would break up, it would hit me harder if we were boyfriend, girlfriend, than if we were just like dating. I'm just kind of afraid if we're boyfriend, girlfriend, and then he meets someone in his area, I'm going to get the call and I'm just going to be devastated, where I feel like I have a little bit of control if technically we're in a relationship, but we don't have the labels.
So you're getting really good at fooling yourself.
Yes.
Well, you're not fooling me.
I don't know
me.
If it works. Yeah, I don't know if it works or not. But, yeah. I mean, that's like what I'm telling myself.
What it sounds like is you really want to be in a relationship, but you don't want to get hurt. And it sounds like he wants to be in a relationship and he doesn't want to get hurt. And so you're both right. Not calling it a relationship, and you're not calling it boyfriend and girlfriend. but that doesn't prevent you from getting hurt. And
right.
the problem is that if you had a lack of trust, how do you build trust with someone when they're not, when you don't say, these are some things I really need to be with somebody. I need to know that you're not sleeping with other people. I need to know that we're exclusive and that your profiles are down and that you're not even thinking about dating other people while we're together, because I want to spend time getting to know just you. We don't know if this is going to last forever. We have no idea.
Right.
It's long
right.
distance. It's a little hard to navigate that. You both have to really want it. If you don't live around the corner from each other,
right.
There's some fear here that if I label something, that means I'm going to get hurt. But the honest truth is that you'll get hurt if
either way.
Yeah. So I think you have to come clean with yourself. You know, it's every time you say, I don't really want a relationship, you're lying to yourself.
Right.
Because you want to have something where you can trust somebody. Trust is
right.
the key here.
Yeah.
This is really what we're talking about today. And
right.
if you're ambiguous, you're going to attract ambiguity. You're going to attract people who aren't sure what they want. And that's what you did.
Yeah, true. Well, and you know, we had discussed, he's like, look, like you're it, you know, like, I don't want you to be it because I don't want to get hurt, but you're it. He's like, I'm not dating anybody else. I don't want to date anybody else. He's like, I don't know if you are, and I don't want to ask because I don't want to know. And I, you know, finally told him, he invited me to Whistler a couple weeks ago with him, his son, and the son's friend. And he's like, you know, we had like a talk, and I was like, look, like I've gone on dates since you and I have, you know, dated, especially like early on. I said, but it was pointless because when I'm on a date with them, I'm thinking of you. And then I feel like I'm cheating on you. And then I have trouble dealing with it, trying to be open to like someone when I already like someone. And I'm like, so I'm fine with just focusing on each other, not dating other people, and not being boyfriend, girlfriend, having the labels. But I'm like, but technically we kind of are. But
do you see what this sounds like?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Like even, you know, like when I would like tell myself, you know, talk to myself or my cats, you know, and I'm like, that makes no sense. Cause like, you know, cause like even when he's like, look, I, you know, I'm too busy to be in a relationship. And I'm like, but we see each other like once, twice a month, and we talk all the time. So like, we're kind of in a relationship. And he's like, yeah, we are. So it's like, we both kind of know it, but we don't like want to say it.
Yeah. So you're both coming with these wounds. You're both coming with, I've been hurt and I don't want to get hurt. So I'm going to put my guard up, but I'm going to also lower it, and I'm going to open up, but then I'm going to back off. And you know, it's trying to build trust is really hard when you're kind of in and out, and you're not, you have this ambiguous label of no label. And it's not that you have to label everything. It's that if you're not clear about what is important to you, mm-hmm. and that you, what your bottom line is, you know, and that's part of the problem of staying too long in a marriage is having a bottom line.
Right.
You betrayed my trust. What are you going to do differently? Okay. I'm going to check your phone, but do you know why you cheated? Was there something in our relationship that made you seek attention somewhere else? How are we going to work on that? What are we doing differently? You know, there are things that we need to set up so that cheating doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens because somebody wants attention and doesn't know how to communicate what they need. And I mean, that's generally what the story is. You know, it's obviously, it's a bigger topic about why there's infidelity, but infidelity doesn't have to end a relationship. It can be a wake-up call, and it can help make people closer. But if two people are afraid to address the elephant in the room, which is happening here too a little bit, like you're kind of in and out, you're sort of undefined, but sort of defined. And it's safe enough because he doesn't live nearby and you don't see each other that often, but you talk a lot. And, you know, and if we don't really bring attention to what this really is, then we can keep going, and then maybe both of us won't get hurt.
Right. We're very attracted to each other. We're just like, we just like, everything's easy. In Whistler, you know, it was the first time I met his son, and it was just, it, Everyone felt comfortable. Everything was natural. It was just like one big happy family, you know, and it wasn't, we weren't fighting. It wasn't difficult. It just flowed. And I hadn't really had that, you know, because like, you know, he lives 5 hours away. So like, we haven't spent a lot of time, you know, together. So the fact that I was with him for like 6 days and it just was smooth sailing, it was like, wow, this is like weird. We're letting the walls down and kind of, you know, figuring things out.
Right. And so you were acting as if you were one happy family, which is another label, right? And
right.
yet you're not, right? So he's
right.
introducing you to his son and going on vacation with you, but you're not boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right.
It's
right.
Very confusing situation.
Well, and that's how he's always been. It's like he does one thing, like he says one thing, but does another. And he was going to invite me to Whistler, like when he first planned it, but he's like, I don't want you to think because you're meeting my kid, it's like more serious than what it is. And I'm just like, so you just have random women meet your children? You know, I'm like,
yeah,
it, you know, and he, you know, and then it's, he says it and I'm like, that's very off-putting. And I'm like, because why do I want to waste my time investing time in you if you're automatically like just closing the thought of anything for the future? He's very confused too. And I'm very confused. So it's just one big confusion.
Yeah, I think both of you know what you want. And I think both of you are just afraid. I don't think you're as confused as you are afraid. And so if we don't label things, then we can continue to act as if we are boyfriend and girlfriend, but not ever worry about what will happen and what are the consequences. The truth is that this is not his decision. It's your decision.
Right.
You get to decide, is this working for me? And not leave it up to him to figure out his dating goals. Like, are you okay with meeting a child and going on a vacation? Are you okay with just kind of continuing it with this amorphous kind of ambiguity, hoping that somehow it's going to become a relationship? And that is a dangerous place to be.
Right.
It's a lot of wishful thinking, which is not
that
different from fantasizing in the past. And look, it may end up being this amazing thing and it may work out, but it also might not. And that's different from two people entering with clear idea that they both are looking for a relationship. They know what they need. They state their standards up front. They talk about things. There's no question that my goal is to be in a relationship. I don't know if it's with you. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I do know I want to focus on this because exclusivity is important to me. Monogamy is important to me. That's how I build trust.
Right. Well, and I'm actually seeing him in a couple of weeks. I was going up to his area for Easter and I was like, okay, we're not going to see each other for a month. And then he's like, look, let me be very clear. I'm not going a month without seeing you. And so he's coming down, you know, in a couple of weeks. It's kind of like a unspoken thing that I think we both really, really like each other. Like you said, we're both afraid to say anything.
There's also the possibility that he would get turned off if you had any demands at all. You know, like he sounds like he needs a lot of his own freedom and autonomy. And he likes this place of ambiguity because he gets to say, oh, well, I'm going to come and see you. But if you had set up a schedule and said, hey, listen, if we're going to continue, it's not going to work unless we see each other more than once a month. Let's say every 2 weeks, like you would set up a schedule like two normal people.
Well, and we did talk about that when he was like, what do you want? And I'm like, I would like to see you at least once a month. He's like, done. What else you got? What else, you know, what do you want?
Okay. Once a month is probably not enough to sustain a relationship.
No, I mean, yeah. Now where we've seen each other like twice a month, you know, like I think end of January, I wasn't invited to Whistler yet. And so I was listening to another podcast of a woman and she was like, look, like if you're dating a guy and you want to see him, he doesn't know you want to see him. So just tell him, hey, I want to see you and see what he says. And if he doesn't want to see you, then, you know, have your answer. And if he does, you have your answer. And so I texted him and I was like, hey, I know you're going to Whistler in February, but I'd like to see you in February. And he went, okay, what about next weekend? And I just went, oh, okay. And so it just like surprised me because I was like, holy crap, like this works. Like I was vocal. I voiced what I wanted and he wanted the same thing.
Right.
You know,
that's good.
And yeah. And that's why it's like so weird because it's like, if I want something, say something, you know, like he gives it to me.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think we're both kind of in denial about what, you know, what we're in, like what status we are.
And I think you can't go much longer without really changing that. That's my personal feeling. So let's get a little more clarity about what are the qualities that you really need to have in a partner.
I want somebody who's never cheated on a spouse, you know, doesn't have a past of serial cheating, I guess would be better. I want them to have faith, you know, some religion, because I think just because I was brought up with religion. And so I think that's important. Someone who's close to his family, who doesn't have kids that they don't talk to, doesn't have parents that they hate, doesn't have ex-wives, ex-girlfriends that they just bash left and right. Morals, values, character, sense of humor. I want someone that I feel safe with. You know, someone that like, if, I don't know, there's a fight or something happens, that they're not going to run, you know, that they're going to make sure I'm okay, you know, that they're affectionate, aren't afraid to show, you know, in public, kissing, holding hands, hugging, you know, that sort of thing. Employed, you know, as a job.
Okay.
Likes cats, because I have cats.
Okay. So likes cats is something that would be nice to have, but that's not a character trait, right? That's
important.
Because it's part of your life.
Right.
But when I asked you what you needed, you told me what you didn't need first. You never cheated, no history of cheating.
Right.
So there were a lot of like, he can't do this. He has to not hate his family, hate his ex, bash on people, talk badly. So it's interesting. You went to the negative first, and, but faith and religion, you know, and being flexible with how that shows up, like, what does that mean to you? Close to family. Some families are awful. And just because somebody's not close to them doesn't mean they're bad people, right? It means that they're discerning and have boundaries. And
right.
So, And so sense of humor, being able to laugh together and feel safe. And safety is trust, and all that is built in. Somebody who has your back, I think, and makes you feel safe.
Yeah.
Who does he have to be to make you feel safe?
Nurturing. Not afraid to like hold my hand, or, you know, if there's a puddle, kind of move me over. I don't know. I guess I know what it is, but I haven't really thought about it, you know?
Okay. So that's going to be part of your homework.
Okay.
To really think about what makes me feel safe. Because safety is linked to trust. And so much is in the demonstration. Like you even demonstrated, he's going to help me over a puddle. That is somebody who has my back. Somebody who takes care of my well-being, is concerned for my well-being. Because you even mentioned before, like during an argument, he doesn't run away. Somebody who stays means that they care about not only you, but they care about the relationship.
Right.
So what makes you feel safe and build trust when you're not ambiguous about that? When you have your own back, you have to have your own back.
Right.
And so when you say, well, no, I really don't need a relationship. I just want to know I'm liked. That's a confusing statement. And really what it is to me, it sounds like I just need some validation from somebody that I'm okay. And while that's important, that also has to be sourced from inside, and nobody can give that to you. And so when you're entering a relationship, hoping somebody is going to give you those things that should be present internally,
Right.
Then you're always going to be open to hurt and then shut down to, you know, all men are not going to be trustworthy and then I'm going to get hurt and then not going to try again. But right. when you know that you're okay, no matter what, that no mm-hmm. matter, you know, this person just might not be right for you at this right. time. And right. maybe he's right for a time being, but not for the long run. Right. Because you're both bringing wounds to the table, which we all do. But when you're in the process of healing and afraid to really label something, that speaks to a lack of healing. And
right.
so, you know, you'll proceed cautiously and keep observing and build trust in the ways that matter to you, not to him, but to you. Mm-hmm. Like that has right. to work for you, not just because right. he thinks you're pretty and is attracted to you and he wants to see you. You're still in the beginning stages. You don't see each other often enough to see the ugly parts of each other and right. to really go through your first argument, see what he does in conflict. And, you know, that is really, really important in a relationship.
Well, and there was one time he was in Cabo and he invited me to come down for a few days. And so I went down and this was like 2 months after our first, you know, date. And at the time I was still very emotional about the divorce and that sort of thing and my settlement and the house and, you know, all that stuff. And I would have bad panic and anxiety attacks. And we were having breakfast and he was asking me questions about something. And I started to feel that I was going to have a meltdown. And I was like, hey, you know, can we not talk about this? He's like, yeah, sure. So I started to kind of have my anxiety panic and I turned my back to him so he couldn't see, you know, me crying or, you know, whatever was going to happen. And then he asked me another question and I just like lost it. You know, I was hyperventilating, I was crying and he immediately jumped up, was hugging me because in my head, I'm sorry. What can I do? Can I take you to the bathroom? I didn't mean to make you have anxiety panic. I was just asking questions, you know, whatever. And, you know, even to this day, he's like, I hope you know, like, that wasn't intentional. Like, I feel horrible that me asking you questions, even though you told me to stop, and I just got another question in there that you, you know, it put you in this state. And to me, it was like that, well, that made me feel safe because here I was having a panic attack after not knowing this guy very long. And he was just very nurturing and caring and just wanted to make sure I was okay. And was like, he goes, my main concern is, he goes, I care for you. My main concern is that you're okay in this situation. And so when I'm asking questions, I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to make it, you know, like, I don't care about him. I just want to make sure you're safe and you feel good. And that, you know, to me, that was like, wow, like he doesn't really know me. And here I am having a weak moment. And he, you know, he was where I wanted him to be, very understanding and didn't make me feel bad about it. I couldn't have asked for anything better in that moment.
How someone handles crisis is everything.
Right.
And, but you had some shame around what was going on for you. So you didn't want him to see you. And so that's the process of letting the walls down.
Right.
Of slowly building the trust that you didn't know if you could trust him. You didn't know if he'd reject you for how you felt and what was happening to you. And he showed up.
Yeah.
So he got points for that. And that's how you build trust.
Right.
So I think the ongoing conversation is when you're going to have with yourself, how do I feel safe and build trust? I would also recommend that you have that conversation with him. How does he build trust and feel safe? Because he's lacking trust. He is lacking that feeling that I can totally open up with somebody because I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt.
Right.
So what would need to be present for him to feel trust and safety? And then the third question that I'm going to pose to you for homework is, what does it look like to have your own back? Because you want someone to have your back. When you know how to have your own back, and that could mean I stand up for myself. I don't let somebody treat me poorly. I advocate for myself. You know, think about all the ways that you may not have had your own back in the past. And that allowed you to be vulnerable to being cheated on, to being hurt in the past. And so I think it's a combination of knowing what it takes to build safety and trust. What are you looking for? What are the markers? Instead of being hypervigilant, I mean, think about when you're raising children. There's a big difference between teaching your child what's important. What are your family values? What are important things to you? Getting your homework done, not cheating, you know, not cheating on a test,
right.
Not stealing things from people. But then you don't watch over them every minute. You leave them to make their own mistakes.
Right.
Hopefully they'll do well, and they're not going to do well because you're watching them. They're going to do well because they have an internal motivation to do well. And that's really what you want to build in a relationship with somebody, even if you're not calling it a relationship. It is a relationship. It's a form of relationship. You know, whether you're calling it boyfriend and girlfriend, you're in relationship with this person and he is with you, and you're making consistent effort to continue to get to know each other. And so the important thing is to be more vulnerable. Like, you're more vulnerable now than you've been, and to continue to be more vulnerable as you see signs of him being trustworthy, of him showing up, of him being there, having your back, not abandoning you when things are tough.
Right.
And then, you know, continue to have harder conversations around things that are important. And there's tons of great questions out there.
Right.
And I think that the relationship will either evolve or it won't, but both of you will be okay.
Right.
Tell me what you're taking away from our conversation.
Well, it's funny because when I knew I was going to see him in mid-March, I was like, okay, like, we need to have like a conversation about like what exactly we're doing, and just, you know, clarification. I need to figure out, what does it mean for me to have my back and be vulnerable, not look for every single thing and memorize every word he's saying and take notes on what he's doing so I can compare him later and quiz him about certain things to see if he's lying. Cause that's not going to do anyone, you know, any good. And be clear with what I want, so then he can be clear with what he wants. And we need to have an honest conversation about, okay, we both keep saying we're not in a relationship, and then we both are saying we are in a relationship, but we don't want to call each other boyfriend, girlfriend, but we are, but we're, you know, like, we're not calling, you know, like, just, and that I think would give us both security in our relationship and, you know, moving forward. Or, hey, you know what, this really isn't, you know, what I want.
Yeah. Cause you can't build real trust with somebody when you're not sure where you stand. And so you're both doing the opposite of what you both need, which is to be in a secure partnership with somebody so you can explore, share the vulnerabilities, share the hard things, share the ugly things, share the good things.
Right.
It's all part of being in a relationship, and the healing happens together as well as in therapy. So the fact that both of you have been through therapy, that both of you understand yourselves, is really good. And you can't fully heal without being in partnership.
Right.
The people that we date bring out those qualities in us and have us see ourselves in a new way, that all the old triggers come up. But knowing that hypervigilance is actually something that holds you back, it holds, it makes the other person turned off, because your hypervigilance has nothing to do with this person, has to do with your past.
Right.
And he's not the person who hurt you.
Right.
And if he does hurt you, then you know how to speak up. And not let it just simmer and boil and then become something bad. You know, we can only do the best we can with the tools we have at the time, but being able to have that kind of open dialogue is going to make a huge difference. And the clarity of where you stand with each other, the fact that you're not seeing other people, otherwise, you know, STDs, all the things that could happen if we're not discussing and just assuming things.
Well, we did have that conversation, I think, in February. He's like, look, like, you know, if you want to date people, you know, whatever, but if you want to have sex with someone else, then like, we need to have a talk. He goes, hopefully before that happens. And I was like, okay, like, you know, I wasn't sleeping with anyone else. So I was just like, doesn't concern me, but okay. You know, yeah. I'm like, same to you. And he's like, I'm not sleeping with anyone else because I don't want to sleep with anyone else.
So you have that conversation, which is good. I mean,
Yeah.
the purpose of dating is to find someone you want to focus on. That's it. I
Right.
mean, it's not
Right.
like to
Yeah.
find your forever person that you're going to know immediately. You don't know that.
Right.
But if
Yeah.
you're constantly looking to see if there's somebody better or there's
Yeah.
somebody else, then you're not really putting your attention where it belongs. If you found
Right.
somebody that you're both interested in, then why are you playing a game that,
Right.
you know? So own it. You know, don't be
Yeah.
ambiguous. Own it. Have your back. And
Yeah.
I really feel like there this relationship-ish thing that you have is it has a lot of good qualities already. And I really
Right.
feel that it's definitely been good in many ways for both of you. And I look forward to hearing how things progress. So will you get back to me and let me know how you do with the homework and how the relationship goes?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for being willing to share this with us. I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there who have trouble trusting and really could benefit from understanding how trust is built and the value of being clear with who you are and what you want and need.
Yeah. Thank you. You've helped a lot. You gave me a lot of homework.
Good. Well, homework is where it's at. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of ideas and thoughts that
True.
completely go out of your head the next minute. So,
Very true. Very
all
true.
right. Here's Rachel with her homework.
So, what I need to feel safe from somebody I'm dating would be planning ahead. That makes me feel like, hey, you see a future with me, you want to pursue something. I get it. Men always don't like planning ahead and they're last minute thinkers. So, I need to understand that a little bit more, but it's also nice to hear someone go, hey, what are you doing in a couple of weeks? Or hey, there's a concert in a few months. Do you want to go? That's how I feel safe. How do I build trust? Get off dating sites if you are in a relationship with somebody or you just want to date that person. Communicate it. Be very open about what you guys are, what you are doing with each other, if you're seeing other people. My thing is like, even though we're not boyfriend, girlfriend, but we're not dating other people, if a hot girl came up to him and asked him out, would he want to go out with her? Or would he say, hey, I'm dating somebody? And what does it mean to have my back? I would say to be open to walk away, to say what I want when I want something and stick by it and not be afraid of him not agreeing with me or saying that's not what I want and then just move on. Also, not being afraid to let down my walls and tell him how I feel and be vulnerable. And that's difficult. And that's something on having my back where I know I can be vulnerable and how he reacts to that. The other homework is to ask him what makes him feel safe and build trust, but I'm going to do that in person when I see him next weekend. So I can give you another update once I talk to him. But thank you so much, and let's do this again.
I love how Rachel really spent some time considering how she builds trust and how she wants to build trust in the future, because in the past, she wasn't clear about what it took to build trust and to build a relationship and to have her own back first. Because if we don't, we don't even know how to have somebody else have our back. And in this relationship she's in now, she's going to be having this conversation with this man when she sees him in person. And so, if you have ever had any of the situations where you haven't had trust, you've been cheated on, whatever the situation is, it's so important to take the steps to have clarity about how to have your own back and how to build trust in a relationship. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you love our show, please give us a high rating on Apple Podcasts, share the podcast with your friends, and follow us on whatever platform you listen to us on. And as always, here's to your last first date.
If you are ready to get unstuck, gain new tools, become more empowered, and finally find your last first date, I'd love to talk to you. fill out an application to be considered for a complimentary half-hour love breakthrough session at lastfirstdate.com/application.